How many of you like to be healthy? Got a few hands. I know it's kind of a dumb question if you want. Of course, we all like to be healthy. And healthy to us means different things. Most of us enjoy trying to be healthy. You know, we go and we will exercise. Okay, some of us. Even when you don't feel like it. When I was younger, I used to really enjoy running. Now it hurts more than enjoying it, but I still do it. I'll go home at the end of a day when I'm tired and I'll get on the elliptical or the recumbent bike and I'll ride and ride and ride just to keep my body in motion, just to keep going. We watch what we eat. We have diets that we go on and we're careful with things we do. Some people actually go and visit a doctor, believe it or not. Lisa knows I'm not one of them. But we do different things to try to keep ourselves healthy because, you know, we get sick and tired of being sick and tired and worn out. You know, God wants His church to be healthy as well. And there are a lot of things that go into making a healthy church. Now, the biggest factor is that we recognize that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And that each one of us, every one of us, need to submit ourselves to Him. Now, in our scripture this morning, you may remember from last week, that Paul has called for the elders from the church from Ephesus, and he's meeting with them, and he's having this discussion with them. He's giving them what he believes are his very last words. He doesn't expect to ever see them again. Now, it actually turns out that a little bit later on, Paul is able to meet with them. But at this moment, when he is talking with them, when he is sharing with them, he doesn't think he's ever going to see them again. And so Paul is giving them what he considers his best advice on how they can be a healthy church. I think it would benefit each and every one of us as individuals, but also as a church to listen to what Paul has to say and see how it applies to us and how we can apply it to our congregation or your congregation, wherever it happens to be. You see, if God's people are growing in spiritual health, then His church will be healthy as well. So let's look at a few sound advice, a few words that are given from the Apostle Paul to the elders in Ephesus and to us. And the very first thing he says to them is to watch out. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 38 is the scripture we're going through this morning. Right now we're going to look at verses 28 through 31. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you. They will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. So Paul's first advice to them is to watch yourselves, both leaders and followers. Now leaders, they need to watch out for each other. They need to have each other's back. One of the reasons that there have been so many moral failures and there have been so many scandals among pastors and other religious leaders, church leaders, is because they do not allow other people into their lives. They do not allow themselves to be accountable to anybody else. They don't give other people permission to look out after them and to watch their backs. Sometimes everyone is just so busy with their own lives and their own pursuits, doing their own things, that they don't really have the time or even the awareness to watch over other people. They have a hard time just keeping themselves on track. I'm sure many of you can relate with that. You're just busy doing your own thing. You're trying to keep yourself on the straight and narrow. You keep yourself there. How can you watch other people? And yet that's what Paul's advice is. And just so you don't think it's just these pastors or these official leaders, let me say that we all need to watch out for each other. We all need to be each other's accountability partner, if you will. We are all leaders. We are all influencers simply by our faith. People will look at our lives and they will take their cues from what they see in us, from how they see us acting, as to what God is like. So we need to watch ourselves. We need to look out for others. Keep ourselves on the right track. Paul says to watch out for others as well. Like shepherds, watch over the sheep. Now this has to do with people who are in leaders within a church, watching over the flock. Remember, every Christian is a leader in one way or another. Just as a parent might ask an older sibling to watch over a younger sibling while they're away, sometimes that doesn't always work out so well. But sometimes the younger sibling is watching over the older sibling and tells the parents everything that happens as soon as they get home. You see, we are all accountable to each other, and we're all accountable to God as well. So we need to watch each other's backs. We need to help warn each other of danger before we get there. We need to be each other's accountability linebacker. You might say that we all need encouragement on this journey, and we need to encourage each other, because encouragement is the sunshine that causes a garden to grow. You see, all water and no sunshine creates for a very dismal garden. We all need to help provide that warmth, the light of encouragement to one another as we watch over ourselves and as we help to watch over those around us. We need to help meet needs. We need to help encourage people. We need to help to teach and to train others. You see, all of this, it really boils down to discipleship, to fellowship, and to ministry. Now, there's a third thing to remember as we are watching over ourselves and as we're watching over each other, and that is to remember whose church it is. See, in verse 28, it says that Jesus bought the church with his own blood. We need to remember that it belongs to him. Jesus told Peter in Matthew chapter 16 that he would build his church. And you may remember that dialogue and stuff like that. And Jesus is not saying that he would build his church upon Peter. He's saying that he would build his church upon Peter's confession that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Anointed One, and that Jesus was and is the Son of the living God. And every believer that you see around you, in this community, they belong to God. They belong to Jesus. And so think twice before you get mad and you're getting ready to say something about God's wife. You see, we are all the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ, from the very youngest all the way to the very oldest. See, it's not so important that I get my way. It's not so important that you get your way. What is important is that Jesus Christ has his way. It is his church. Ask the Lord, how can I be a part of what you are doing in your church, Lord? And then he will show you. He can help you to fit in, help you to use what you have. He can show you what he wants you to do and how you belong in part of his body. But you see, not only does a healthy church watch over its families and look after each other, but the people of a healthy church, they work hard to provide what is needed. So Paul's second advice is for them to work hard. Verses 32 through 34, he says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions." Now, before we jump in and we start talking about how hard we need to work, notice that Paul starts here in verse 32 and he commits these people, he commits these elders to God and to the work of his grace. So why would Paul do that? Why would he start there? Because it is God's grace that builds people up. See, no matter how hard we work, no matter how hard we try to make things happen, in the end of the day, it is only by God's grace that results happen, that we can see things take place. It is God's grace that moves. And so in the midst of this discussion about hard work, remember that it is only by God's grace that we are able to accomplish anything. So work hard. Work hard to avoid a... Oh, I love this word. I've struggled with it. I even got a dictionary to tell me. Work hard to avoid a covetous heart. A covetous heart? See, the different ways. I even Googled it and had Google tell me over and over and over. Because it gets better. You get into covetousness and stuff like that. But work hard to avoid a covetous heart. See, covetousness, it arises from a desire and not from a need. You see, we see something that someone else has, and we want it for ourselves. We desire to acquire that. And for most of us, it is not so much that we need it, it is more that we want to have it. There was someone who was working their way through this, and they said that it is not coveting as long as we do not wish to dispossess that person of it. And so the reasoning, as they went through it, they reasoned and said, as if that person has two of those things and I only want one of them, then they will still have one and I will be okay. I don't think that's really what it's talking about. I know some of you may be laughing, but it's hard to hear you with the masks on and stuff like that. Everyone except Lisa is not wearing one. The main thing, Lisa is quickly covering up it. The main thing is that we don't get so caught up in this desire to acquire, this wanting to keep up with the Joneses or wanting what other people have. Make sure we don't get so caught up in all of that that we miss what God's purpose is for our life, for our lives. So how do we work hard to avoid a covetous heart? Well, one way is to simply learn to be content. And contentment, it comes from trusting God. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, he said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. King David, he eventually learned what contentment was. In Psalms 23, he writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He gives me everything I need. Everything that I have belongs to him, and he will provide everything for me. But what else should we work hard at? Well, we should work hard at providing for ourselves and for our family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, God provides. There is no doubt about that. And Lisa and I have seen how he provides for us over and over again. But we still have to do our part. Paul did not just sit around and say, oh, God's going to provide it for me. No, he got out and he worked and he earned a living. He earned a living for himself, but also for some of his traveling companions. In fact, there were times when Paul may have wanted to devote all of his time and all of his energy into the ministry. But he still had to work on the side. Now, he could have received donations, as he points out in 1 Corinthians. And he talks about there's this biblical basis to receive a wage for someone who is preaching the gospel. However, Paul chose to be entirely self-supporting so that the gospel could have its maximum impact. Most of the other apostles, they received from the generosity of other Christians as they went around and ministered to them. But Paul rarely ever did. Probably the only occasion was he received some help from the Philippian Christians at one time. But the point here is that there is nothing wrong with working hard on a job to support yourself and to support your family, as long as that job does not keep us from doing what it is that God has called us to do. See, our job should have ministry compatibility. It should fit in with what God is calling you to do. If it interferes with your worship of God, if it interferes with your following after God, to doing what he has called you to do, then maybe you need to look for another job. Maybe God is taking you in another direction. He needs to be first. He needs to be number one. And then everything else will fall into line. But we also need to work hard to support the ministry. See, Paul took care of his own needs, but he also supplied for the needs of his ministry team, his traveling companions. There were other times where Paul actually raised funds from different churches in order to support the church in Jerusalem when it was in great need. Now, it is very biblical to support the work of the Lord through tithes and through offerings. And I'm not just talking about money, mostly that is, but the idea is even through our time, through our talents, we should be supporting the Lord's work. And you see, as good stewards, we need to be aware of how the money is being spent, how it is being used. Somehow we need to continue to honor God with what it is that he has blessed us with. I believe that it's part of God's plan for believers to support the local church, the church that they are involved in, especially when those resources are being used to reach people in the community, but also around the world. Our final point shows us one way that the Lord's money should be used. Because Paul goes on and he tells these leaders from the church, he tells them to be generous. He says, "In everything I did, I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering of the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive." When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. You see, Paul, he led by example. He led by his example of working hard. He led by his example of his generosity. Now, we've already seen how Paul worked to cover his expenses, but also those of his traveling companions. But he also worked so that he could give to the poor, to the less fortunate. I would encourage each and every one of us to be involved in some kind of ministry that helps to support those who are less fortunate than us. Helping to give to needy people. Give to different disaster reliefs. We have one here at the church. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Heartwork. Do you know that Heartwork actually began years and years ago to help support the people within this congregation? That was where the roots started. And it's kind of spread. It's kind of blossomed from there. It's still available to you if you need it. But it also helps the people who are living on the streets. There are some people who come into Heartwork and they have a job and they're making a living, but they're just barely making it. And by the end of a month, they don't quite make it. They're living on the fringes, and Heartwork helps them out with food, with clothing. They spend time praying with them. Heartwork is a good ministry to support if you want, can. I know there are lots of others out there that you can support, but it is important for us to be generous with what God has blessed us with, because God loves generosity. And why does he love generosity? Because generosity actually reflects God's own heart, his very nature. Stinginess is out of step with God and who he is. God so loved that he gave. No strings attached. He just gives and gives. He continually blesses us over and over again. He keeps on loving. He wants only the best for each and every precious human life that he has created. See, as we seek to be good stewards, let's not think that God is impressed by how tight-fisted we are. You see, when we stand before God, He will be much more impressed by how much we were able to give away, how we were able to bless people as He blessed us. Not with how much we were able to hang on to. You can't take it with you when you go. When you leave this life, when it's all over, and you get to heaven, you can hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And whenever I think about this, I think about the Ray Bolt song, "Thank You." God has blessed us. And because of that, He wants us to bless other people and to help those people who are in need. You see, as we seek to be a healthy church, one that is helping people to get to know God, and one that is helping them to grow closer to Him and following after Him, let's remember Paul's parting words to the leaders from the Ephesus church. Watch over God's people, including yourself. Watch out for one another. Help keep each other closer to God and following after Him. Work hard. Work hard to avoid covetousness. Work hard to avoid this greed. Live in generosity. Be generous, helping people who are less fortunate than you. See, we want to be a church that is growing, a church that is healthy, a church that is following after God, doing what it is that He has called us to do, helping each other, watching out for each other, working with each other, and being generous. We want to be a church that is on fire for the Lord and following after Him the very best that we can.